Triple A is a unique teaching series in which Pastor Di Hanke gave members of Hill City Church license to ask absolutely anything, promising to provide answers that are honest, blunt, and biblical. We trust that you find the answers given to be both enjoyable and helpful. If we can assist you further, or if you have any questions that you'd like to be considered for future AAA series, please contact us via our website at www.hillcitychurch.org.
Guys, absolutely fantastic to have you here this morning. It's been a while since I've had a preach. It's been about a month since I preached. I'm just going to do a couple of things before I get cracking. One of them is to explain to you what's going on for the next 6 months. I'm starting a six-part series this morning called AAA. Those of you who have been here for more than 3 or 4 months, remember AAA Round 1. It's been dubbed the Make the Pastor Squirm series because I let you ask anything you want and I try and tell you what the Bible says about it. And we got some right doozies in this 6 week one, let me tell you. So you've got 3 weeks of AAA. Then I'm going away for a week on a youth camp. So you have a week of James doing something else. Then you've got me for another 3 weeks finishing off AAA. Then we've got another week where it'll be James preaching. And then you've got me for 14 weeks going through the book of Ephesians. So it's going to be a bit of a marathon autumn term. But I'm really excited about it. This morning we're doing the first part of AAA, which is on prayer. And what I want to do before I sort of crack on too much with the sermon is I want to honour Simon. Simon's out there with the kids at the moment. He might well come back in a minute. It's great to have him here this morning. He asked when we came this morning, could I please pray for the soldiers in Afghanistan? He's a former Marine himself, and he's been, you know, in the army. And I appreciate that when you've been in the army and you hear the sort of stuff which has been coming over our news headlines about what the soldiers are going through. I totally get his heart, why he wants me to pray for the soldiers in Afghanistan. So it's got nothing to do with the sermon, apart from it is a prayer, and I'm talking on prayer. But I want to honour Simon. He's asked me if we as a church could pray for our friends in Afghanistan. So we're going to do that. Then we'll do the sermon, if that's okay. So let's just pray. Lord, thank you that you are the God of the whole world. Thank you that you're in Trevethin, and you're enjoying what's going on here this morning. But thank you that you're also in the trenches of Afghanistan. You're there with the soldiers, Lord. You're there. Understanding completely what's happening, even where there's confusion amongst the soldiers, Lord, you know what's going on. And we want to pray that you would draw near to the troops, the British troops, Lord. We do want to pray you'll protect them. We want to pray more than that, Lord, that you will draw near to them, Lord. And perhaps there's soldiers there who haven't given you a blind thought before they went out. And now in a heat of conflict and with all that's going on around them, that like they would cry out to you and they would find you. Lord, we pray that they will know, especially on this your day, this Sunday, just something of your presence with them. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Cool. So the AAA series, I kind of nicked it from America. There's a pastor I like. He preached a series once called Ask Anything, where we put an A in the middle of it. So we call it the Ah series, which means ask absolutely anything. And the reason that he did the series is that in the Bible, there's a lot of really sort of cool letters at the end. They're called like the epistles, and Paul wrote a lot of them. And Paul wrote to a church in Corinth, a really interesting letter. They were a church that were going having a bit of a mare, to be honest. They were a lot more messed up than our church. But when you read his letter, he was clearly answering questions that they'd written to him in a letter. So he says, no, about this issue and about that issue, and you want to know about this? Well, this is what the Bible says. So that's all the AAA series is. It's rather than me saying, well, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says, regardless of what you think or where you're at. I want this to be a church where you can say, Di, I've been thinking this for ages. What's that about? And I want to be able to answer you biblically and honestly and bluntly and lovingly. So we've got some real hot potatoes coming up. This morning's a relatively tame one. It's a really good one, but it's also quite a deep one. I think we've got the youth coming in. Happy days. Okay, that's fine. Knock yourselves out. Right. The animals went in two by two. Hurrah, hurrah. Oh, the keys, do you know what? Yeah. Nothing like a professional church, is there? It's one of those two. Oh, you're not going. Right, sorry. Sorry. It's one of those two. Right, guys. Cheers. Right. For those of you who are visitors, and you think the church is normally like this, it is. It's what we call sanctified chaos. We love it. We're a scrambled egg church. We're all over the shop, but we're in it together. That's basically how we see it. And we love it. And I'm so glad to have so many guys here this morning, so many visitors as well. So this morning, the question is about prayer. And this is what's come up on the screen for our question this morning. Franks, can you press the cheese, mate? If God really knows the outcome to every situation before it even happens, then what is the purpose of praying for a particular thing to happen or not to happen? That's a very deep question. That's a very deep question because I guess it makes sense logically. If you look at that from a human perspective, then that kind of makes sense. I don't know where you guys are at with prayer. A lot of people pray when they're in trouble. They see prayer as like in emergency, break glass. You know, like, my life's falling apart, help! That's how they see prayer. I know some Christians, they just walk through the world, like walk through their life talking to God. They're just like constantly in touch with God. I know other Christians that confess honestly, and you know, and I appreciate that. I find it really hard to pray. I find it really hard to spend quality time with God, and I find it hard to connect with Him. So this question comes from a heart of wanting to understand what's the purpose of praying for a particular thing to happen or not to happen. First thing I want to bring to you is this. It's like, if this isn't the main part of the sermon, just a thought. If you just bring it up for me, Ben. Is it true that God really does know the outcome to every situation before it happens? Because if it doesn't, then it nullifies the question, doesn't it? If God doesn't know everything, then the question doesn't make sense. So, I mean, in true Dianke fashion, I'm not going to beat around the bush. Yes, God does know the outcome to everything before it happens. It's all through the Bible. Look at what Jesus says about himself in the last chapter of Revelation. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. God is the bookends of eternity. There's nothing which has happened outside of the control or the knowledge of God. God never has a day and he goes, what do you mean that happened? I didn't see that one coming. God saw it coming. God knew it was coming. God sees everything from an eternal perspective, not from a time perspective. We see everything from a time and space perspective. We had a beginning. We'll have an end. Things that go on, you know, it sort of evolves and we have to sort of keep up with it. And when it's happened, then we know it's happening. When it has happened, we've seen that it's happened. God doesn't see with our goggles. God doesn't see with our time and space goggles. He's got eternal perspective. God knows everything. There's some really cool scriptures in the Bible, and I wanted to sort of like go on to this a bit deeper, but it would have distracted me from the rest of the talk, because I believe that like that would take us down a path called predestination, which is great, and I'd love to talk to you on predestination, but that's what we're talking about this morning. Put it in the question box next time. What does predestination mean? And we'll go down that route. But basically, it is true that God knows everything before it happens. Absolutely everything. He knew you'd be in church this morning before you thought, should I go to church this morning? He knew, this is a mad one, he knew what t-shirt, what socks you put on this morning before you even put them on. I believe that God knows the massive stuff. He knows what's happening in every solar system, every galaxy. He knows what's happening down the bottom of the sea right now. He knows what's happening in your life right now. And he knew it would happen before you knew it would happen. We need to have a big perspective of God. Guys, our problem is that we try and pull God off the shelf, don't we? And we try and put God under the microscope and try and make God small so we can understand him. And we don't need a microscope for God. We need a telescope for God. Because God is bigger than our eye can cope with. God is more, you know, he's more, the big word is omniscient, which means all-knowing. He knows everything. And this morning, if you've got a small view of God, I want to challenge you to have a big view of God. Guys, God knows so much more than we let him, like, you know, in our minds we realize that he does. He knows your life intimately, every last bit of it. He knows what you've gone through. He knows what you're going through today. And check this out. He knows what you're going to go through in the future. He knows. He knows. So if he knows, then the question does present itself, why pray? First of all, what is prayer? Prayer's a bit of a mad one, because loads of religions do it, don't they? So are they all, is it all the same? Like, some people seem to kneel down, some people swing smelly handbags, some people sort of like shout really loud. You know, if you've ever been to the Pentecostal churches, I love the Pentecostal churches, although you would sometimes think that like they think that God, they actually have to speak to God in heaven because of how loud they shout. And then there's other churches where they're like church mice. And they're like, don't want to talk too loud, you know, because just in case I upset God. So it's like, dear Lord, I want to... We got so many, and neither's right, neither's wrong. There's so many different ways of connecting with God. I was in Park Prison yesterday, as I often am, not as a convict, as a chaplain, and well, not a chaplain, a preacher. And I was in there, and the chaplain encouraged the guys in jail yesterday. You got to pray, and you don't know how to pray. Write it down on this piece of paper. Write out your prayers to God. I've been in places where they encourage you to paint your prayers to God. God, you know, hasn't got a special magic formula. But I do believe that not everybody who believes they're praying are truly praying. We're going to come to that in a minute. But prayer is communing with God. I often describe prayer as talking to God on a hands-free kit. You've heard me saying that. I've changed my mind. I repent. That's not what prayer is. Prayer isn't talking to God. It's talking with God. If my marriage with Michelle was just about what she heard me say, she'd have a bit of a rubbish marriage, wouldn't she? Oh, you know she would, because like, you've been here 5 minutes and you're already like, "Die, come on, bro, shut up." Like, you know, if prayer was just a one-way thing, then it'd be a bit stupid. Prayer is a two-way thing. Prayer is God wanting to meet with us, to be intimate with us. It's incredible that when you actually spend time in prayer and you pray and then you're silent, it's almost like the Holy Spirit can speak to your spirit and you kind of know that God is trying to say something to you. You can just have an inkling which way you should be going, what you should be doing. God wants to communicate with us. It's a two-way thing. A one-way conversation is stupid. A one-way conversation is a dictator. God's not a dictator, and I'm not a dictator. God is relational. We'll come to that in a little bit. Prayer is communing with God. So, why pray? Here we go. Let's crack on with this sermon. I'm excited this morning. Why pray? Thing number one, what's the point of praying if God already knows what's going to happen? First point, because it's obedient to him. This is what God says to us through Paul in Philippians. He says, do not be anxious about anything. Any of you guys ever get anxious about anything? You must do, because you're human, right? Like, we get anxious about stuff because we're human and because, like, life just gets on top. And so the attitude, well, why should I pray? Life's stressful enough. Like, why sort of add another thing to things I got to do today? God says to you, don't be anxious about anything. Anything? Anything. It's a great word. It means anything. Don't think, well, don't be anxious about most of the stuff, but the really bad stuff, just still be a bit stressed about that. Nah, don't be about anxious about anything, but in everything. That's everything. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. I've loved the worship time this morning. I've loved worshiping. I feel like we've had a really good platform of thanksgiving this morning. Let your requests be made known to God. And what happens then, Di? What's the payoff? If I obey God, if I pray because that's what God wants me to do, what's the payoff? Check it out. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Any of you guys need peace this morning? Do you need the peace of God that passes understanding? Check this out. This is nuts, right? I want to explain to you what the peace of God is, but I can't. I want to help you understand, but it surpasses all understanding. All I know is that when I've got stuff going on and I bring it before the throne of grace, and I'm like, God, you told me to cast my cares on you. There you go. It does bring peace into the situation. I can't, as a scientist, tell you how that works. There's no scientific explanation. There's no logical explanation. It's a Holy Spirit thing that when you cast your cares on Jesus, he takes those cares away and his peace comes and fills a place where stress was. And that's not something which you have to do once and then you never have to pray again. This is something we have to do regularly, guys. Prayer is a discipline. It's like, you know, not maybe once a day, maybe once an hour, maybe once a minute. But a discipline of saying, God, I need you to carry this for me. I need you to deal with this for me. And that's just obeying God. God says, don't be stressed, pray. So let's not be stressed, let's pray. Second reason why we should pray. It shows that we're dependent on his grace. We live in a world that says, you've got to fix it yourself. You've got to make, you know, you've got to dig yourself out of the hole that you're in. You've got to, you know, whatever it takes, you're the man or you're the girl, you do it. You've got to be strong. I was preaching in a church last Sunday and a woman came up to me afterwards and I preached the gospel, I preached my heart out. And this woman that I know really well came up to me. She said, you know, it's fine for you to believe all that stuff about God, that's fine, but do you know what? In the last year, her life has fallen apart. I know it has, because I know the situation well. And her life has just been ripped apart, and she's heartbroken right now. And she said, I don't need all that God stuff. She said, my mother was a strong woman, and my mother's strength is what's getting me through now. And it's not. It's false strength. Guys, by praying to God, this is what's happening. You're saying, God, you've got what it takes and I haven't. You're strong and I'm weak. You're mighty and I'm not. And that's humbling. And we don't like doing that. We don't like being like, you know, the one that has to admit, you know what, I can't do it. Ask any bloke with a DIY project. They don't like to be the one that can't do it. I don't need the instruction manual, bro. What do you want about? You do need the instruction manual. That's why it's upside down, back to front, and wrong color, and probably the wrong one in the first place. We don't like being told that you can't. But prayer says, God, I'm letting you in because I can't do it. And this is the promise of God to all Christians who will humble themselves and say, I can't fix it. God opposes the proud. If you want to do it yourself, God says, fine, do it yourself. That's what he says. If you want to be on your own, you can do it on your own. But look what he gives to the humble. Grace. He gives grace. He gives help. He gives undeserved kindness. He gives more of what we need than we even knew we needed into a situation if we're humble enough to say, God, I need it from you because I haven't got it within myself. Guys, we pray even though God knows what's going to happen because it postures us in a place that says, God, you're still everything and I'm not. You're the strong one. I'm not. You carry me because I can't cope. A Christian who goes through life like that gets through life. A Christian who goes through life saying, well, God knows, he can, you know, I'll do my thing, and if it meets with God's thing, that's fine. But if it doesn't, well, whatever, what the hey. It's just a posture of pride, and God opposes the proud. Guys, can I say to you this morning, be humble enough to say, God, I need your help. No room for pride in God's kingdom. There's only one megastar in God's kingdom, and that's Jesus. Third one, why pray? Because it's part of his plans. I got really excited about this verse, right? Really excited. Now, Psalm 139 is that really cool psalm where it's all about God knitted us together in our mother's womb. And I got this really cool picture of God sort of like handcrafting babies in the womb and stuff. And I got this really cool picture of, like, you know, God sort of going, yeah, like blue eyes, like, yeah. And, like, you know, but later on in Psalm 139, this is what he says. David says, I think it's David. I better just double check that because I always do bloopers. I don't want to get it wrong. Psalm 139, whoever wrote it, Psalm 139. This is what it says, though. He says, all the days ordained for me, check this out, were written in your book before one of them came to be. It was David, buzzing. Right. There's a book with your life in it. Do you realize that? Look, all the days ordained for me, every single minute of every single day and every single detail, God has got detailed files. I hope that freaks you out. I hope it does. It's a big file. And not pleasant reading at certain points of my life. I don't know about you guys, but he knows. And, like, check it out. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. It wasn't like he was like, you know, dear diary, today, die did blah, blah, blah. It's like, dear diary, guess what die's going to do when I've created him? All the way through. But this is what got me excited. And when I get excited, okay? Why pray? I don't know what it is that prompted this question. I don't know what it is that prompts someone to say, you know, why pray? Because, you know, because God knows what happens, and so what's the point of praying? All I know is that whatever it is, we get to be part of God's plans. In your book, if you're a Christian, I got a friend called Carl Brattle. He's a really good guy. And he says this. He says, if you become a Christian, you are the product of someone else's prayers. If you were a Christian, I guarantee you, someone at some point prayed for you. And I don't want to get excited about God's book because of my life. I want to get excited about God's book because your prayers can be on the page of someone else's life. That's why we pray, even though God knows the end from the beginning. There's people in this room who I have prayed my guts out for. And you're here. And I love it, because my prayers were written in your book. And if I hadn't prayed, I wouldn't have had anything to do with your book. But I did pray, and so I've been part of it. I've been part of the plan the whole time. God wrote down, Di, I want you to pray this. And on so-and-so day, I prayed it, and God said, I'm buzzing about that. I'm going to do it now. And I, you know, it's not just, you know, salvation and God. It isn't just a case of me and God, and so, like, you know, we'll just have this thing going on here. It's all of us. Guys, I pray for you. I love you. I love the guys who aren't here this morning. And I love the fact that, and it just hit me yesterday as I read it again. Your book is covered in my prayers because I know you and because I love you. Why don't you cover someone else's book with your prayers? Every time you pray, it counts. If you're praying for someone, keep praying. Keep bombarding the book with your, like, prayer graffiti. Until one day God answers that prayer and you can say, I was part of that. I'm buzzing. I got saved. My mother and my dad prayed for 15 years before I became a Christian. And I'm so glad I got saved at 15, because if I'd gone on much longer, I would have been in all sorts of mischief. But 15 years, they covered my book with their prayers. God wrote their prayers into my book. So if you're praying for someone this morning, if it's somebody on your heart, don't think, well, God knows anyway, what's the point of praying today? See, another day, another page for me to tag this book with my prayers for that person. Isn't that buzzing? I love that. Fourth reason why we should pray. Because it's following the example of Jesus. This is talking about Jesus now. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the one who never did anything wrong. Jesus, just the megastar of like eternity, came to earth as a poor carpenter. And this is what it says that he did in Mark chapter 1. Rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus departed and went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed. My point here is really simple. If Jesus saw the need to pray, I think perhaps we should do well to follow his example. Jesus didn't say, well, I'm God and I already know. Or he didn't say, well, the Father, you know, on the throne in heaven knows. What's the point of praying? He set for us an example in how to do life. He got up very early in the morning while it was still dark. When was the last time you guys pulled back that duvet at 4 in the morning and said, I'm going to be like Jesus today? And you said, Jesus got up before it was dark. This is a lot easier in wintertime, by the way. Just so you know, you can get up bed at 7 and still be biblical. But like otherwise, you have a 4 o'clock alarm call, breakfast at 5. But the point is, Jesus saw the need to pray. If Jesus saw the need to pray, let's not say, well, I don't need to pray. What are you on about, man? Jesus did. I'm going
to
do it.
Yeah, so guys, just be excited. Be excited that you can talk to Jesus. We get to talk to Jesus because we get to. That's brilliant. Right. So, that's kind of the answer to the question, really. But before I clammed up, I just want to give you some real simple reasons, as in how to pray. I don't know if you've ever thought about how we should pray. I don't know if any of you are, like, new to prayer. I know some people, when they, like, first, like, meet Jesus and they become Christians, they're like, so what? How do you pray then? And, like, you know, they sort of go back to all the sort of, like, maybe they went to a Catholic school, or maybe they went to, you know, some sort of, like, you know, some old school chapel where you got to sort of, like, you know, quote at least the verse of one hymn during your prayer, otherwise it's not a real prayer. And if you check a couple of these and those in, you're mega spiritual. Don't know. How should we pray? I think sack tradition, sack church culture. Let's have a chat with Jesus, shall we? This is how Jesus prayed. This is how we should pray. Jesus said, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's not literally word for word how you should pray, but there's some principles there I want us to get on how to pray. Check it out. Number one. When you pray, you come as God's children. Father isn't God's title. It's not like, you know, if you talk to the Queen, it's your majesty, and God is our Father. And this is where this room might get split right down the middle. Because he's not everyone's father. He is the father of humanity, he is the creator of all. But this is speaking relationally. Is God your father? Or is he just God? This is an absolutely massive truth. If you don't get this, guys, you're just not going to understand the beauty and the power of prayer. Prayer will always be frustrating. We come as God's children. You know, Jesus said, you must be born again. I've got a human father. Some people have grown up without a father, and that breaks my heart. And when I speak about God as father, I need to say this. Please don't see any human father, whether you had one and he was good, you had one and he was bad, or you didn't have one. No human father is an adequate role model for us to understand what God as father is like. Okay? So I'm not being like loveless here. I know that, you know, especially in this estate, as people have had some really bad experiences of father. But God is a loving father, a good father, a forever father, a faithful father, a kind father. But is he your father? We must be born again. We are not born as God's children. In fact, the Bible says we are born as God's enemies. We are born in rebellion against God. We're born dead in our sins. Our sins have cut us off from God. We are not his children by nature. We are his enemies. Which is why Jesus said in John 3, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Have you been born again? Have you come to a point in your life where you've cried out and said, God, save me, change me, adopt me, make me part of your family? Because you know what? That's what happens when you cry out to Jesus. You literally get adopted into the biggest, best, maddest family that there is, the family of God. Let me read to you this amazing scripture in Galatians chapter 4. This is just awesome. Where is it? Chapter 4, verse 4. Here we go. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. So check this out. So that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. Are you a slave or a son this morning? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Have you come to Jesus? If you haven't come to Jesus, you haven't got to the Father. And you can't pray like this. Guys, he's my Father, and he's a good Father. He's a kind Father. He's a loving Father. But if he's not your Father, you can't treat him like your Father. I love my kids. You see me with my kids. My kids are bonkers. They're great. But like, you know, I went back this morning after like dropping off some stuff for church. I went back to get some more stuff for church. Happy Sunday mornings. And Ellen just runs at the door, and she goes to grab my leg. Like that's her new thing. She goes, Daddy! And she runs and grips hold of my leg. It's sort of like, and I got to walk with a kind of like a very major growth on my leg. And like, and she hugs me, and she tells me about the day. And, you know, she sort of jumps on me, and she sort of like, you know, she pulls my ears, and she forces me to read tweenies, and she just, and I'm on the one day a year when I get a lion, she has the right to open the door and jump on me and, like, you know, give me a nugget or whatever. Like, she just can. Do you know why? Because she's my daughter. Can I say to you, if any one of you come to my house and try and grab my leg and go, Daddy, you're going over the hedge, do you know why? If any one of you break into my house on my lion morning and jump into bed with me and go, do you know what? You're going through the window because you're not my child. And when God is your Father, you have access to him in a way that other people don't. Yeah? Your kids, if you've got kids, it's a different relationship to your relationship with other people. And it's the same with God. We pray our Father if we've come in faith, repenting of our sins, to Jesus Christ and said, save me, make me yours. And he says, welcome into the family. And then you can call him Father. And you're every bit as much of a father, of a child of God as Moses, Noah, Abraham, all of them in the Bible. They're no more one of his children than you. That moment you cry out to him in faith and say, save me. Have you done that? Yeah, I've got to preach that in this message because, see, there's a lot of people in a lot of religions, and this is hard teaching. But Muslims aren't praying to the Father. Buddhists aren't praying to the Father. Hindus aren't praying to the Father. They've got 9 million gods to choose from, but not one of them is the Father. Jehovah's Witnesses aren't praying to the Father. Mormons aren't praying to the Father. It's only through Christ that we get to the Father. Have you come to Jesus Christ? If you haven't, you need to. I want to urge you with every fiber in my body, give your life to Jesus Christ and find him to be the best Father that there is, a faithful Father. And this is great. Our Father, we're in heaven. There's an amazing scripture in Revelation that speaks about a massive golden bowl full of sweet-smelling incense that comes before the throne of God. And it tells me in Revelation that they're the prayers of the saints. Somehow, I haven't got a scientific explanation. Again, it's just faith. And in what God has said, my prayers end up before God the Father in heaven. Somehow, with all that's going on in this world, I love the fact that Simon said to me this morning, can you pray for Afghanistan? Do you know why? Because God's got time to hear about Afghanistan this morning. He's not preoccupied with the ashes. He's not preoccupied with Iraq. He's not preoccupied with Barack Obama and the threats on his life. He's not preoccupied with film stars. He's got time for all of them. And the prayers of the saints, the ones who come to Jesus, arrive before his throne, and he receives our prayers as a sweet-smelling incense. He's pleased. It gives him pleasure when his people pray to him about big things and small things. I love the fact we can say, God, can you end global terrorism? And we can pray, God, I haven't got enough for a pint of milk today. Can you help me out? And everything in between, God has got time for the micro and the macro. And it gets to him in heaven. Second thing, really quickly, we come as God's children, but we need to prioritize God's glory. We need to check our motives when we pray. Why are you praying what you're praying? Why is it that you want to see breakthrough in? Why is that what you're praying for? Is it because it'll make you look good? Is it because it will please you? Is it because it's what you want? Is it because it's the desire of your heart? Or is it because ultimately it will exalt God as great and make God look awesome? Because we need to be people that say, hallowed be your name. That means set apart. That means, like, we need to esteem God as glorious. And everything which we are about and everything which we do needs to be saying, God, it's about you, not about me. And we live in the complete opposite of that in our culture. It's all about me. I want the best clothes. I want to be the popular one. I want to be the person that everyone likes. I want to be like Superman or Superwoman or Supergran or whatever. It's all about me, and it's not. It's all about him. Guys, when you pray, as miraculous as it is that you can, come through Jesus Christ, but make sure it's his glory, his name that you're all about. If it's not, sort it out. Third one, pursue God's purposes. I haven't got time to go into this as deeply as I'd like to, trust me. But this is what Jesus told us to pray. He said to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I do need to talk about this a bit, because if I don't talk about this, a lot of stuff isn't going to make sense to you. But this is major. Jesus said some incredible things when he walked this earth, one of which was, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. He said, the person whose agenda I'm bothered about is God's agenda, not my own. He said, truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. He said, God, I want to be doing what you're doing. I'm not doing my own thing. I'm not writing the script. I want you to write the script. He says, I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has given me a commandment what to say and what to speak. And then he goes on to say, what I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. He said, God, it's what you want that really matters. Guys, can I say to you, if you're praying, like, it needs to be what God is all about that drives you and that fuels you. Because you could be praying something completely different. I guarantee you, if I go to Cardiff City versus Swansea City football match, the Swansea lot are praying, give us 3-0. The Cardiff lot are praying, give us 3-0. They can't both be right. They both can't get their prayers answered. So somewhere down the line, I'm not saying you should like be praying like God's will in football matches. It's just a point. God's only going to do one thing. God's not schizophrenic. He's not going to change his mind and go into who prays more prayers of what. Rather, God knows exactly what he's going to do, and we need to spend time saying, God, am I actually on the right track here? Some things, you're just on the right track. To pray for somebody to become a Christian, you're on the right track. That's a good thing to pray. To pray that God, that God's kingdom will come, you're on the right track. God's kingdom is coming in Trevethin. He's answering that prayer. But to pray, God, that new car. If I got a loan, I could probably just about squeeze that car. Now, that's the sort of thing where you need to be able to discern, God, what is it that you want me to do with my money in my life? What is it that you... And we need to discern God's will. And there's a discipline, guys. We need to be serious. Jesus took time, pulled the duvet back, 4 a.m, before his breakfast. I'm going to spend time with my Father, and I'm going to find out exactly what he wants in my life today. And every decision, no matter how minor or how major, I want to do what he does. Because let's be honest, right? Don't you want to be pleasing God rather than doing his heading? How many of you have got kids? And you know, you say, right, we're going to this shop. And they're like, nah, we're going to that shop. And like, you're dragging them kicking and screaming to do what you want because they want to do what they want. How much more of a blessing is it to you as a parent when it's like, hey, we're going to this shop. Cool, let's go, Dad. Wouldn't that be a dream ticket? Wouldn't that be great? Doesn't happen very often though, does it? In that metaphor, we're the children, God is the Father, yeah? Let's ask him which shop he wants us to go to. Rather than saying, right, God, I'm doing this today. Will you rubber stamp it with a blessing, please? No, let's take time and say, God, what is it that you're up to? Who is it that you want me to speak to? What is it that you want me to say? In the Psalms, David said, I delight to do your will, O my God. Do you delight to do God's will? Are you about God and what he wants? Are you about you and your desires and your drive and making yourself look good? Almost there. Romans 12 says this. It's a really important verse on the whole will of God thing. So hard preaching with one hand. Check this out. Romans 12. I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. Huh? What does that mean? We'll get there. Which is your spiritual worship. Check this out. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing, you may discern, you'll be able to work out what is the will of God. If you think that, if you want to know what God's will is for your life, don't be living sinful. Don't say, I'll do what I want. Don't be like, you know, don't be praying and saying, well, I'll smoke ganja if I want to. I'll sleep around if I want to. I'll get drunk if I want to. I'll get in debt if I want to. I'll fight if I want to. I'll be proud if I want to. Because if you're doing that, you're not putting yourself in a position as a living sacrifice where you can discern what God's will is. There's a very interesting verse in Isaiah 59, right? It says this, and hear me on this, guys, I'm almost there. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear." The Bible says God's not deaf. If it feels like your prayers aren't getting answered, God's not deaf. So what's the problem? God says, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." You can't take the mick with God, guys. You can't have your cake and eat it. If you think you can go and do your own thing and turn your back on God and live in a way which is totally not what God wants you to live, and then expect to know what God wants for your life, and God to bless your life, and God to answer your prayers, you're wrong. Our sin cuts us off from God. It's so annoying when you're on the mobile phone and you lose signal, isn't it? I'm on Orange in Trevethin. I'm tied into a contract till March, and I got no signal in my house. It's doing my head in. I got to like stand by the front window to send my text messages because otherwise there's no signal. And there's nothing worse than having a conversation. You get cut off. Guys, our sin, the things that we do wrong, cuts us off from God. And he doesn't hear our voice. He doesn't hear our prayers. If we're going to come and be prayerful and have God answering our prayers, we need to come in a godly way, in a repentant way. Not saying, look at me, I'm perfect, but in a way that says, I know I'm not perfect. Would you forgive me? I don't want that in my life. I want to honor you with my life. And God will answer your prayers. It's his pleasure to listen to your prayers. But let's not take the mick out of him. We pray your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And here's a thought. In heaven, it's just really cool. Really good stuff goes on in heaven because there's no thugs and drug users and there's no like just nutters and there's no people like climbing in your hedge and there's no like people trying to nick your car and there's no, you know, just strife or violence or pain or trouble. There's no arthritis in your left ankle. Hallelujah. There's no cancer. There's no death. And praying your will be done on earth as it is in heaven is saying, God, I know that what you want to do is to bless this world. I want to be part of blessing this world. God doesn't want a bunch of sour-faced Christians going, yeah, your will be done. But you go to most churches, it's like, oh Lord, fill this world with as much joy as we have. What are you on about, man? You got no joy? What are you on about? I want to be a blessing. I want heaven to come on earth. I want God to be made much of in Trevethin. I want people to be saved from their addictions and their fears. I want the brokenhearted to be healed. That's the signs following that I want. I want people to be just completely transformed. And for people to say, man, God's doing something in Trevethin, isn't he? Yeah, you better believe it, because heaven is invading earth. And that's what our prayers do. Pursue God's purposes. And finally, trust God completely. My dad, right, he was he still is a really good bloke. I speak like he's dead, he's not, he lives down in Pontypool. My dad is a really good bloke. But he used to wind me up a lot. Sometimes intentionally. My dad could hit me with a moccasin slipper from 20 metres. Like that, honestly, just because he could. It was really freakish. Like, top of the stairs, bottom of the stairs, round the corner. I know he had some little homing device on his slipper. I don't know how it worked, but me and my dad, we had a fun relationship. But what done my head in with my dad is he was the boss. And I wasn't. And he was the one in charge, and I wasn't. And as much as I wanted to be, and I grew up and I thought I was hard, I still try and wrestle my dad. He'd give me a pacing every time. He'd twist me up on the sofa, like, you know what I mean? Because I'd be like, no, I'm the man. No, I'm not. And like, with God, he's the man. And we're not. Okay? And what I had no problem accepting about God as a kid was that he was the one in charge. But what I did have a problem accepting was that he knew best. For probably the best part of 20 years, I insisted that I knew best. And that my dad didn't have a clue what he was going on about. He didn't understand the real world. I knew everything. I had a GCSE. Therefore, I must be the one that understood the world. Nah. I look back now as a dad with my own kids. And I'm like, you arrogant Burke. What were you thinking? The whole time, the whole journey. All right, he wasn't perfect. But the whole thing was about God saying, was about my dad saying, I know what's best for you. I don't want you going out and drinking cider on the streets because it's not what's best for you. I don't want you going out with that girl who's into witchcraft because it's just not what's best for you. And I didn't see it at the time, but now I see it. And guys, we need to understand with God, okay, that when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, he decides what the bread is, not us. Because if my bread is a Ferrari Testarossa, right, and I say, Lord, that's the bread I need today, I really need a Ferrari, he knows best. There's a very good chance he's not going to answer my prayer, because he knows it's going to get bricked outside my house anyway. And so, but like, he knows best. In the big things and the little things, the situations that you're praying for, guys, God knows best. But are you willing to trust him and know that he's best? I resisted my dad's leadership as my father for most of my teenage years. And I've had to apologize to him for that. Because I was wrong and he was right. He knew best the whole time. He had my best interests at heart. He saw more of the world and more of the big picture than I did. And guys, God sees the full picture. He knows exactly what your life is about, where it's heading and where it's going, and he sees it better and clearer than you. So let him be a good father. And let him say yes to some of your prayers. Let him say no to some of your prayers. And be patient if he says wait a while. But it's part of trusting him as your father, who is so trustworthy. Yeah? And a closing prayer. You've listened really well. Next week we're talking about hell. So It starts to heat up a bit next week. I just want to reiterate, if any of you here haven't come to Jesus and you haven't bowed the knee to him and said, I want to become a Christian, come and pray with me and Michelle afterwards. And it'll be our privilege, our pleasure to pray with you. That's what we're here about. It'll tap you into a life of connection with God that will transform you and transform so many other lives as well. Let's pray. God, thank you that the fact you're listening to me right now is just amazing. Thank you that you do know the end from the beginning, and yet you choose to have a year listening in Trevethan, and you hear my prayer to you. I come through Jesus because he's an amazing Savior, and he's made a way. I thank you, Lord, for everyone that cries out to Jesus. They get an instant access point into your throne room of grace to find help, to find grace. Lord, we just want to thank you for that. Help us to pray with faith. Help us to pray with confidence. Help us to pray with security. Help us to trust you if you don't answer the things that we want in the way that we want, when we want. But above all, Lord, would you just walk each day with us? Would you walk the streets of us? Would you listen to our voice? Would you just like speak to us through your word? Would you be that perfect loving Father to us in a very real sense? For we ask it in your name. We believe it would give you great glory because it's all about you in the first place. We love you. Amen.